I told you, you know, we live about three blocks from, I was just going to ask you about some of these other religions. You know, everyone has their own opinion, whatever. You seem pretty smart. It's called Faith Reformed, I think. And then there's the Jehovah Witnesses. Is it true they believe like 144,000 people only?
Yeah.
And they're fighting to be one of those?
What a
hopeless religion.
Yeah, it is. It's a hopeless religion.
You've got to be one of those 144,000. Oh, my God.
Actually, Jehovah Witnesses started with that. Russell started it with that, and then when his cult movement grew bigger than 144,000, he had a problem. Then he had to change his doctrine. The biggest problem...
200,000
could get it. Yeah. The biggest problem with Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't believe Christ is God.
Yeah.
They're deniers. They're antichrist. And they believe that a wrong gospel, and they're a man-made system... a false faith. So I would totally. I have articles on my teaching blog, on my Unbiblical Teachers blog, that show you biblically. I have lots of
Seventh Day Adventists like that too.
Yeah, Seventh Day Adventists.
Small group can get in.
Well, yeah, Seventh Day Adventists.
They're just perfect.
All different groups of them too. Then go to the Reformed. I don't know which one you're talking about.
Oh, it's called Faith Reformed.
Yeah,
about four blocks.
The Faith Reformed. A lot of time they're Calvinistic.
That's a set group. I googled it. It said there's only a small group that can supposedly get into heaven if you're good enough, you know.
Well, see, here's the thing, Craig. Everybody, Jesus said in John 3, whosoever will come can come.
Right.
So everyone, anyone, a drug dealer, prostitute, politician, lawyer, me, it doesn't matter. Any of us can come.
Right.
But Jesus said few will. That's my wife, Debbie, by the way. Hi. That's Craig.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Craig. I'm just going to sit over here. Such a nice day out.
Oh, it is beautiful.
Yeah. You're the Wisconsin one. He's the Illinois one.
Yeah. I said you're originally from Wisconsin. I was from Illinois.
I screwed this up.
Yeah.
Tell him I lived in Dixon, Illinois. That's a little town down in Illinois.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We moved here in 2010.
Yeah. But yeah, I'd warn you against Jehovah's Witnesses. I'd warn you against the Reformed. A lot of them are Calvinistic.
You don't have to warn me. I know.
Oh, well, you said you were asking about it.
Well, I was just looking for... I wanted your opinion on the...
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I asked
you. Yeah, they're definitely
so,
false.
Yeah, trust me, when there's a set group that you just have to be... Try to hope you're perfect enough your whole life, and you might be one of those, it's like winning the lottery. That's not a religion. I don't care.
No, again, Jesus said few are going to find it, and Jesus does ask us to strive for perfection. But that word perfection, it stumbles a lot of people. In English, it sounds like, wow, how could I ever be perfect? You look at the Greek and the Hebrew. I encourage you, like when you study, look at Greek and Hebrew words. And that word perfection in English, that's really a bad translation. It really means complete and mature. So what that means is Jesus says strive to be complete and mature. So the question is this. If you're born again by the gospel, which is faith in Christ's shed blood, death, burial, and resurrection, he's the only way. Through repentance, which means you change your mind and your ways, you come out of the world, come out of your sin. If you truly have been born again, you just said you must be born from above. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will teach you to walk in holiness and obedience. And then you must endure in the faith to the end to gain eternal life. You don't just get it by raising your hand, saying a prayer. It's like a marriage. It's like anything else. You got to endure in it. Here's the thing. If the Spirit of God is really in you, you will not want to live in sin. You will desire to leave all sin. Will you still stumble at times? Yes. Will you make mistakes? Yes. Will you choose sin here and there? Yes. But guess what will happen? Conviction. Other brothers will tell you, hey, we love you. You can't do that. You repent of it. Whether it's you start smoking, you throw them away. You're watching porn, you smash your phone. You got neighbors that you fight with all the time. You can't get away from them. You find another place to live. You find a way to remove the sin from your life, because sin is what's going to separate us from God. And even though Christ came and died for us, he did. But you know what? The sin that is not forgiven. Do you know what sin is not forgiven?
Blasphemy.
Well, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is the one that's not forgiven, but there are other sins.
Is that pretty good? I knew that.
That is very good. That's very good.
I still can't believe you can't even be forgiven for that if you truly repent that you... I think that's a lifelong, though.
Yeah. That's a sin that there's no... That's a sin that there's no forgiveness for. What I'm saying is, you know what sins won't be forgiven? They're the ones that you hold on to, that you don't repent of and give to Christ.
You know what I found with... You could call me a backsliding Christian. But anyway, I found...
There's hope.
My sister and my brother are lifelong Christians. I give them a lot of credit. But
are they part of the churchianity system?
No. Very, they have study groups in their homes and all that.
Around here?
No, I live in Iowa and all that.
Oh, okay.
But even her, though, my younger sister, who's a couple years younger than me, she has a lot of problems with forgiveness. And forgiveness is right behind repentance, I'll tell you.
Oh, absolutely. You don't forgive others, you won't be forgiven.
Some people hold on to, even Christians have held on to people that have wronged them in the past. That sets you free more than anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I'm glad you know that. Forgiveness, like if you wronged me or I wronged you and we're brothers, forgiveness is not really, like if you wronged me, forgiveness is not really for you. You know who it's for? It's for God's glory, because it's showing the work he's done in me. And then it's for my freedom, as you said. And then it also keeps you, keeps me from having ill feelings for you. But it really is about our relationship with God. That's why we forgive people. And because he's forgiven us.
Well, it's just counterproductive.
Yeah, yeah, and again, the big key. Most people I meet, most people say they believe in God. Most people say they believe in Jesus in America. Most people say that.
Yeah.
Very few people are willing to lose their life and come out of the culture. Mm-hmm. And Christ calls us out of the politics, sports, entertainment, churchianity. He says, "You're mine. Come follow me into my kingdom." This is the kingdom of Satan. So if we live like the world, we're very much in the kingdom of Satan. We have to repent and leave the kingdom of Satan. Now, we can't leave it completely. We live in the world, but we're not of it. So we live different as how we talk, how we act, how we dress, how we carry ourselves, how we spend our money, what we do with our time, who we associate with or not. This is all the process of coming out of the world. And God always, if you've read the Old Testament, he always called his people out. He never told them, go mingle and be like everybody else. He said, you're mine. Come, be mine. And that's the biggest problem I see. People love their life too much. They're not willing to lose their life.
Yeah.
You got to be willing to lose your whole life. Like, are you married?
Yeah.
Okay.
For 35 years to the same lady.
Did you lose your life when you got married to her? You lost your old life.
Yeah.
And she lost hers.
Still losing.
Yeah, well, it's good.
I know.
But it wouldn't work if you would have kept girlfriends and she kept boyfriends.
Yeah, and crowding around.
So that's a covenant, Craig. But guess what we have to enter? We have to enter the blood covenant. It's not a relationship so much. It's not. It really is entering a blood covenant with Jesus. And then walking, keeping his commands as fruit that you know him, following him with all that you are. And Jesus said this. Nobody likes to hear this, but I have to tell him. He's not a liar. Jesus said, my people will be hated by the world. Which means, not because you're a jerk, not because you're mean, not because you steal people's money. You'll be hated because you preach righteousness. You're not part of the world. You're calling people out of the world, and the world loves their sin. Why did they hate him? And so his people will be hated. When I go and I street preach, not only do the worldly people don't hate me as much as the religious people. They hate me worst of all. The Baptists, the Lutherans, the non-denominations, they hate me worst of all because the truth of God shoots directly across and cuts them. The world, they go, hey, I don't even claim it. Yeah, whatever, man. But the religious people, they hate. Well,
it's kind of like the Jewish.
The Pharisees.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. They were his worst enemies. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were his worst enemies.
Yeah. What do you think? I don't want to get into too much bad stuff. But, I mean, me not even being, you know, obviously where I should be or whatever. But I know, what an abomination gay priests.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
I mean, that's one of the big.
We are in the last
days.
We're
supposed to accept all that stuff, but you still gotta accept. You know, you just gotta. You have to believe in what those people are doing, but you still gotta love them as a human being.
Well, you love them.
Bleeding on the ground, you still gotta help them and whatever.
But you know how you love them?
Which I would.
You tell them the truth, and you call them out of their sin, because if they don't repent, they're gonna perish.
But to me, that's one of the, throughout the Bible. That's, you know, the Ten Commandments or whatever. Sexual immorality and homosexuality was probably preached the most. I haven't read the Bible probably 20 or 15 years. But from what I remember, those are two of the biggest sins, was sexual immorality
and
homosexuality.
I wouldn't say they were the biggest sins. They are a sin.
It seems like they're spoken a lot.
They're spoken of in the Old Testament a lot. They're spoken of in the New Testament some. But one thing we got to be careful of is, you know, we can't look at those sins as, like, really bad.
Well, what I'm saying is, how could any pastor...
Oh, yeah. No.
No, they gotta know that. If they've seen that, and then they think it's okay to be. You know.
The Bible warns in the last days that people will come, false teachers. They're gonna heap up for themselves false teachers and tell them what they want to hear. And this is the sign that America's dying. We're already under the judgment of God.
The abortion and all that.
Yeah, we're already under the judgment of God. The sign that a society's dying, you know what is always the last sign? Sexual perversion. You look at the last four major cultures, sexual perversion was the end. When the family unit destroyed, it's over.
That's getting really bad.
It is getting worse. So we're in the last days.
I watch a little TV, but I only watch like History Channel. You
know, yeah, yeah.
History stuff.
Toss that out and get in the Word of God.
Commercials now, it's all transgender.
Yep, yep.
You can't even tell the sex of people.
Oh, I know.
Anymore.
Yeah.
It's really
the Bible predicts it's all going to go that way. So, yeah.
Something to laugh.
Yeah. My website, I have a lot of articles that would bless
that
you.
On your
Yep, don'tperish.com. And then if you ever want a Bible study, if you ever want to, I'll be rolling out when it gets colder. I got to go south and preach down south because nobody's outside like this. But
well,
my brother.
I could be a preacher like that.
What's that?
I wouldn't mind being a preacher that got out of this in the winter.
We live in a van.
I know, I'd get out of here too. I can't stand it.
We live in a van and we don't sightsee. We go down and we stand out and
so
preach.
It's nice to have weather like this though. Cause
it's awesome.
You know how cold it gets up there.
We're like God's creation, like the geese. We migrate. And we go down in Florida, Georgia, Texas. You can't throw a stick on a weekend without hitting some big event. And that's where I go and street preach. Whereas here in Wisconsin, there's nothing going on in the wintertime. Unless I want to go out on the lake and nobody's out on the lake. They're all ice fishing. So we go and we do that. But my brother will be in the area if you want to, if you'd like the Bible study. He's a young man. He's 35. You look like,
no, really?
I'm 60. How old are you, sir?
62.
Okay. So you must be retired?
No.
No, not yet?
I raised four sons and a stay-at-home mom on my income since I was 24.
Oh, nice. So good for you. When are you retiring?
Millions of dollars in the bank.
Whatever. Plus you don't need millions.
Crashing. Well, I don't have it. Trust me. I was exaggerating that amount.
Yeah.
The market crashing now with Grandpa Biden's inflation and all his crap. Every time I maybe could think about retirement, I lose half of my IRA and my mutual funds and blah, blah, blah. So I'll probably be working the rest of my life. How do you guys... I don't mean to get snoopy.
No.
You don't have to tell me.
No, I will tell you.
You can afford to.
Here's the key. Ready? Look at my van. It's a 1996. I drive an older van.
My car's 2004.
Yeah. So I drive an older van. We live really frugal. I did try to save my money over my life, but we own different properties. We sold them all. We minimized, we stripped down, and we live really, really super frugal. And see, here's the thing. Like, people that have a $1,000 a month mortgage, if you sell that house and downsize into something smaller, or if you're able to, like if you're an empty nester and you live in an RV or something, you just gave yourself $1,000 a month raise.
Right.
So when you can reduce your debt, so I teach people.
We're very frugal.
Yeah, so that's good. Reduce it down, and you'd be surprised what you can live on if you're willing to kill your flesh.
Yeah, it's just bad now with, I don't know this crap they say about 8% inflation. You know, Aldi. There's stuff that's 300% inflation.
Really?
Gone up three times.
Really?
Yeah,
huh.
So
I guess I don't really keep track.
I call him Grandpa Biden. I suppose we're supposed to respect our politicians.
Yeah.
Trust me, I don't. When they stand for certain things.
Yeah.
It's not 8%. There's things that are
300%. Right. It's all a plan. It's all a plot.
Doubled. Well, you know, Bill Gates is the biggest farm landowner.
Yeah.
You know that?
It's all a plot.
He's trying to shut down farming.
Yeah. That's why don't put your hope in politics, because everybody thinks Republican, Democrat, they're controlled by the same oligarchs. And they're just doing this, and they're just stealing more wealth, and they're getting the one world system built. This COVID that happened, it wasn't the mark of the beast system, but it's a trial run. They're getting it ready.
I had to guess, though. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm just kind of... I can have good intuition. We all know it's the ancient. I think it was to get Trump not elected. Because they were scared.
You think it was what?
To get Trump out of office. So I think it was purposely unleashed on the world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know all those motives, but I know what the Bible predicts is the Bible predicts in Revelation 13 a world global system that's going to control buy, sell, and trade. And here's what I think is the key. I'm not a prophet, but here's what I think is the key. Watch cryptocurrency. When they go to a cashless society, think about this. Right now, you can have cash in your pocket. You can go anywhere and you're free and you can do commerce. As soon as cash is gone, you now are at the control of the government, and they go, hey, Craig, you're not doing what we like you to do, tell you to do. Your account's been shut off.
Well, that's what Canada did.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So
I sent Trudeau a nice email about that.
I think it's a ways to go. You and I might not live to see it, but they're getting it ready. They're getting it ready, and we see that the Bible is true. This one world system is coming. But so don't put your hope in all that. Put your hope in Christ. He's going to come back. He's going to vanquish it all. He's going to bring his kingdom physically. You want to make sure you're striving for it now, which means going against the current.
I got to go over here. sound like a very smart guy, and it was nice talking to you.
All I got is God's word. Well, if I can help you, you want a Bible study?
But you're not, you know, some street preachers are a little unhinged, maybe, I'll say.
I've met very few biblical ones. Most of them are.
That's right. Some are a little touched, but, you know, you got to respect everybody.
I got a bunch of street preaching videos if you're interested. I got thousands of teaching articles, all for free. We don't want anybody's money. We want you to get in the Word, be encouraged, and follow Christ. And if you'd like the Bible study, my brother's in this area. He'd love to have a brother.
Okay. Nice talking to you.
God be praised.
First time I've ever seen your van around here.
We've been around here this summer, but not out here. We usually stay at a park on the south end of town. We thought, we'll come up here.
Cool.
Maybe. Honey, what's the name of the park we stay at down at the other end? What's the name of that park? It's the one right on the river.
On the river?
Yeah, it's
like the Fireman's Memorial Park?
Yeah. Fireman Memorial Park.
That little tiny...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I don't get down there too often.
There's a pavilion there, and we
it's
usually...
a beautiful park.
Yeah. What's that?
Hanson Park.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, what did you say?
H-A-N-S-O-N.
What?
H-A-N-S-O-N.
Oh, she's saying Hanson Park, but it's the one that has the Fireman Memorial.
Yeah. So beautiful.
So we usually stay down there, and but we decided to come up here, so I think maybe it was just to meet you. God always has a purpose for us. He does.
I haven't been in this parking lot. My son was severe mental illness.
Oh.
I'm in very sick.
Oh.
And he wanders. He was just 27. He was just starting to really...
Still live at home with you?
Yeah, he'd be homeless and probably dead if he didn't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He wanders away at night. He comes here a lot. He's got a big cemetery over there. Got lost in the cemetery. I'm out at 10:30 on a work night looking for him in the cold and snow in March.
Oh my.
I had to report him to the police. But so I haven't been, and I know he comes here a lot, but I haven't been in this park for probably 2 years.
Huh.
So it is kind of a coincidence.
Perfect timing. Let us know how we can help you. God be praised. We love you.